ready for some basketball, Mr. Christie? Sorry, man, I turned your mic off.
Oh, I know. You do that from time to time.
Well, you know what happens when I do my live endorsements? You are yapping so loud that I don't want your private conversations going over the airwaves.
My bad. You know what? I just tweeted this.
Yeah.
George Michael, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Careless Whisper.
Yep.
Yes, but I am, you damn right, I'm ready for some basketball.
Are you?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Now, a lot of people don't want sports on their holidays. I have to have sports on my holidays.
Who are those people?
Well,
what planet do they live on?
They do exist.
Do
but
they?
I mean, listen, I had the perfect day yesterday.
Tell me about it.
Because I didn't have to leave the house. And I...
Those are nice days.
I'm like, gosh, I've got all the NBA, and then I've got two football games on. And, boy, the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game was great.
That was just... Man, it was... They don't like each other. It's hard hitting, and then there was drama because it came down just Ben Roethlisberger playing fantastic at the end of the game. Antonio Brown, I mean, dude, that game. The look on those guys' faces. I mean, just you can tell how passionate they are. There's a hatred, which is a level of respect, if that makes any sense, and it turned into one heck of a ball game. Yes, it was.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We are with you, as I said, for another full 2 hours, and then it's game night followed by the pregame show at 7 and all the action at 7:30. You know, when you look at this Philadelphia team, all right, 7-22, and, you know, Embiid is a guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, because of all of his injuries. And I want to see, you know, I don't know if you've watched Philadelphia play much. I'm being very honest. I haven't watched them play at all.
No.
All right. So I'd be lying if I said, oh, I've watched, you know, Embiid, and I can tell you exactly, you know, how he's looked and everything. I mean, I've only gone by what I'm reading, but I have not spent, you know, a lot of time. Although, you know, I'm looking at some of the games he's had.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he's putting up some big-time numbers in some of his games.
Oh, yes. Now, I have seen him play a little bit. So he's added the three-pointer to – well, I say added the three-pointer because we've really never seen him play. But he can shoot the three-ball. He was a volleyball player, so highly athletic. A skill set that I don't think everyone didn't know kind of what he was going to be. But he – is proven, Grant, to be one heck of a player. So when you look at him and Jahlil Okafor, if they do end up starting those guys, that's 7'11". My note automatically when they handed me this just a second ago was pick and roll, move the ball. Put those guys in pick and roll and let's see if they can guard in the pick and roll. But this is a team we didn't see him this year because that was the Zambugi game.
Yep.
The floor was wet.
Right.
So we didn't get a chance to see him. This will be the first time that we see him this year. But I think a name that a lot of people will remember, Robert Covington.
Yes.
He has scorched us many, many times.
Well, and he's going to stay. I'll tell you what he's doing right now, and I don't even have to guard him. He's going to be either in this corner or that corner, and he's going to get the ball, and he's going to shoot threes.
At 6'9", 225, the kid can play.
Yes, he can.
And they play hard. And
yeah.
We say that, Grant, but –
they do.
What that means nowadays, it's a skill. That means that for 48 minutes, they're going to come out and they're going to play extremely hard. And if you get caught slipping on a night, and that's where the Kings have a problem. Two areas. Consistency of playing hard and guarding a three-point line. That's two areas that this team absolutely excels at. They're in the top 10 in makes and attempts. They're sixth in both of them at the three-point line, and they play extremely hard. In the last three games, they've given up an average of 112 points. So the Kings know that they're going to. It's a ripe game for the Kings to prove to us, Grant, that they're growing and they're starting to become the team that we've seen from time to time in small stretches.
All right, again, you know, looking at the game that they played in Phoenix, in that game, Embiid had 27 points on 8 of 15, so a very efficient. Very efficient game, but they did lose. They gave up 123. As I mentioned, the game before that, you know, they gave up 108 points, and they only scored 93. So, you know, they're struggling, all right? Philadelphia is a team that's coming in here. They're very capable of beating Sacramento, but if the Kings come out and play the way they've been playing, they should win this game.
Yes, they should. And, you know, one thing, when I look at the turnovers, this is in Philadelphia, 29th in the league at 17 per game. So they are going to turn the ball over. But you have to pressure them, and you got to come out with the right type of energy. If you do that, that equates to easy buckets, and that equates to this whole place here, Golden 1 Center, lighting up, and now you're starting to use your home court advantage. And on the opposite end of that spectrum, the Kings have been taking care of the basketball, and they've been taking care of it in a big way. I want to say in the last three games in this winning streak, only 10.7 turnovers, Grant. That is really, really good for a team that we've seen in the last few years that consistently have turned the ball over and coughed it up. So tonight, come out with energy, play good defense, be in the right position. This team will turn the ball over. That'll equate to easy buckets, and usually that equates to shots starting to fall.
All right. Again, if you want to call the program, you can at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Sacramento will be in Portland on Wednesday.
Woo!
And then they'll take on the Memphis Grizzlies, a New Year's Eve game coming up. And speaking of, you know, schedules and holidays, boy, Memphis, you know, hit the jackpot. They got to spend Christmas in Orlando where it was 83 degrees. And then they leave here. And they got two nights off down in L.A., so they'll spend New Year's Eve on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. So, Memphis knows somebody in the league office. All right, let's get to Gordon. Hello, Gordon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's happening?
All right.
Hope you guys had a good Christmas yesterday.
Thank you.
Well, that was a gut punch watching Denver and Kansas City last night. Really hurt bad to me. And so I was reading on the Broncos page this morning that Elway was going to look at, you know, personnel and stuff. So I'll ask you, gentlemen, and I'll take my answer off the air. If you're John Elway, barring that you know you need to strengthen the offensive line, do you get rid of Dennison, the offensive coordinator? What do you do, sir?
Well, I would say, Grant, he was saying, do you get rid of the offensive coordinator Dennison for the Broncos? And really, when you look at the offense, I don't know that Simeon is your guy. Yeah. I just don't know it. And for the Broncos, I think that defensively, I think they're going to be fine. They'll tighten up a few things on the defensive end. They're an elite defensive team. Offensively, though, what are you going to be? I don't know that it's offensive coordinator. I think a little bit of that, Grant, I'd like to hear your opinion, is personnel, starting with the quarterback.
Well, the big rumor is Tony Romo. The problem I have is the Denver offensive line, I don't see Tony Romo staying healthy behind that line. Tony Romo is a guy that if you're Denver, okay, let's say you roll the dice. They rolled the dice on Peyton Manning towards the end of his career and they won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I know it looks sexy, and I know I'd be very skeptical about that, depending on how much it would cost to get him.
And the other thing is, Tony Romo plays in the billion-dollar playpen. That's way different than Mile High outside in the cold with back problems, with a whole bunch of problems. Not that he can't do it because he's played outside before, but consistently you're going to play, what is it, half of your games at home? So that's eight games outside in that cold weather. I don't know. I agree. Very sexy, very good look because you already did it with Peyton Manning. They need that type of a quarterback.
All right. Gordon, anything else? All right, he's gone. If you want to call the program, please do so at 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We didn't talk about the 49ers yet. They won a ball game.
Yeah, they did.
And they,
we haven't talked about them. We haven't given them no love.
Because they can't lose when they're supposed to. They can't win when they're supposed to. They can't do anything right, for crying out loud. No, I mean, hey, let's just call it the way it is.
You have a chance.
The only time you don't want to win, they win.
You're killing
me,
man.
Well, I'm just telling you. I mean, why you've come this far? Why blow it and win a game against the lowly Rams? By the way, Jared Goff looks terrible.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you. Are you kidding me?
In trouble, man. That's not going to help the coaching search. But to the point of the 49ers, wow, man. You can't lose when you're supposed to, because Cleveland goes and gets a W against San Diego. And good. I was – you know what? I'm not a fan, but I'm kind of a fan of Robert Griffin III. I want to see the kid succeed. And I was telling Jay off the air, it looks like he's been taking sliding lessons. That leg still comes up a little bit, but the point is he's starting to get down. I don't know if that's going to translate. I'm not really sure, but yeah, unfortunate for 49er fans because he had a chance to get the number one pick. Jay's back here shaking his head.
No words, man.
No words. Where do you go with that?
I'm just telling you, they can't win when they're supposed to, and they can't even lose when they're supposed to.
Oh, man. Hey, on to something. Looking at this schedule,
yep.
I just want to – okay, so you got –
Which schedule are you talking about?
The Kings, okay. I'm sorry. 76ers tonight.
Yep.
The next three games are really interesting, Grant. You got Portland, Memphis, and you got the Nuggets for the first time. These are all games that really – I mean, if you're going to make that push, they all mean something. Number one, you smacked the Blazers here. There's a little animosity, and they're that team vying with you, okay? Then Memphis, you went there and beat them. That's the Jaeger dynamic. And then a Nuggets team who's hovering around that thinks that they're better than you, and you haven't seen them yet. Those are three games that are big time.
Well, here's the deal. When you're 13-17 and you've already, again, I don't want to say given away because this team is not good enough to give away. But
yes, you have. But I understand.
You know what I'm
saying? Yes, I do.
You really, despite how badly everybody's playing from eight down, I still think the magic number is 41.
Yes, I agree with you because it'll come around.
Yeah, yes, it will. And so now it as we're approaching the new year, the adage that beat the teams that you're supposed to beat really, truly comes into play.
Yes.
Okay?
It does.
Because here's the deal. You haven't played the Warriors yet. That's four games.
Yep.
Okay?
Right.
I mean, you know, so let's – you still have two – you have two games at San Antonio.
That's what I was calculating.
All right?
Yep.
You have two games against Cleveland.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't win any of those games, but what I'm saying is you have so many tough games coming up. You better – you haven't been to Oklahoma City yet.
Yep.
You better beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
It is a absolute must. And I will say this, Grant. What Grant and I were just – or what Grant was saying and I said yes to is the fact that it will come around, meaning that 41-41 will come around normally because playoff teams usually go, even the bad ones, six-game winning streak, five-game. And that's how you get to 41-41.
That's correct. Yes.
And
that's
if the
exactly
Kings
right.
want to be that, you're going to have to do that. Not just once. It's usually a couple times.
No question. Yeah. And they haven't been to L.A. yet. They got to play two down against the Clippers, who have got a lot of injuries right now, but they're not down there for a while. You got to play two against the Lakers. And, again, I think by the time that happens, the Lakers, you know, with these young players, that's all right. I'm just trying to point out the schedule here. There are and you have an eight-game road trip coming up at the end of the month. Win against the teams you're supposed to win against. And you've got a chance.
I think a chance. Yep.
I'm still. It's not going to be easy. But my point is, it's probably unattainable if you don't win some of the games you just mentioned.
Yeah, you have to start consistently beating the Nuggets and the Trailblazers and teams that are going to be hovering around that same spot as you. And if you can do that, you're giving yourself the opportunity. Will it happen? I'm not sure.
All right. Let's get to Ben. Ben, you're on with Grant and Doug. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's happening?
I just want to say Merry Christmas, first of all.
Same to you.
I have a question about Rudy Gay. So I feel like the chemistry right now is really, you know, going well. The ball is moving around. DeMarcus Cousins is, you know, being double-teamed still, but he's moving the ball when he's double-teamed. He's not forcing it. What type of factor do you think will – do you think the chemistry will go wrong or even better with Rudy Gay returning?
Well, he's questionable tonight.
Yeah, he's questionable. But you know what a lot of people do say, Rudy did come back and the Kings lost. They're going to say, oh, we're better without Rudy. I think that if the Kings play this same style and you put a Rudy in there, you're adding a person that shoots a higher percentage than whoever's in front of him. And if they play that style and buy into that style, then – I think that all of a sudden you become a better ball club, even with Rudy Gay in the mix.
That makes a good point. So why do you – here's one thing I don't understand, and I feel like with multiple coaches, we kind of see the same thing. Is the ball always freezing, and people don't move without the ball. There's no motions being run around. People aren't consistently, you know, trying to cut in, doing pick and rolls, a lot of things like that on offense, and it's mostly become staggered, especially in the fourth quarter when you see them, you know, they're kind of giving up, trying to feed the ball to DeMarcus Cousins and making him try to do hero ball.
The word that you use there is consistently. And if the Kings do that consistently, and Grant can testify to this, in the last two games, we went 32 points for the Kings, 20 for the opponent, and then 31 for the Kings, 20 for the opponent. And they played that consistent style of basketball that the caller is speaking to. Passing, cutting, playing off of DeMarcus on double teams. He's getting the ball to guys, and guys are knocking down shots. I think the caller, the word that you use is consistent, and that's what playoff teams do, is they are consistent.
Yep. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Speaking of consistency, how about that Warriors-Cavaliers game in the fourth quarter? How great was that?
Man, great basketball. Man, let me tell you, Kyrie Irving, man, that kid there, man, I mean, just watching him, the confidence that he has taken on. And we talked about this, Grant, and a lot of calls, that's why I always say, man, we need TV cameras around here, because me and you have a lot of great conversations off the air that they don't get to hear. But we've talked about looking at Golden State and seeing what they do and how they do it to other teams. It's incredible. The problem when they play against the Cavs is that LeBron James is so great. He controls the pace and tempo of the game like a Magic Johnson. The only other player really that I really seen that wins and does it that way is Magic, meaning that he makes passes from one side of the court to the other, which there are only maybe two or three guys in the whole league. And when I say make a pass, I'm not saying a lollipop pass. It is fire on the pass, so there's no chance for the defense to get it. And Golden State, their tempo and all those different things is taken away when they play the Cavs, because there was a time there when they went up 8 and I was thinking, oh, this might, because I thought, yeah, I really thought it was going to be a blowout. I did. I thought they were going to go into Cleveland and they were going to blow them out the way that they were playing. And that's not saying anything for the playoffs, because they did it last year and then the Cavs won. I just thought it. But watching that team, Liggins filled in extremely well, and guys are knocking down shots and playing off LeBron. And then you got a number two guy in Kyrie Irving that is, man, that kid can play.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait to watch him here.
Well, there are two things that everyone's talking about. LeBron's big dunk. He was excessive on the rim. That should have been a technical. All right.
I know. Jungle Jim. Yeah. It was nice, though.
All right. And then, obviously, you saw Richard Jefferson stepping on Durant's foot. Those are tough to call, aren't they?
Grant, in my opinion,
yeah,
maybe if it's in Golden State, it's a foul. He wasn't handsy. What I mean by that is you didn't see him put his hands on him and he fell. Feet get locked up from time to time. And in my opinion, he didn't try to trip him. It happened. So that's where the offensive player, he has to clear his feet. You can't put that on the defender. So I didn't think that was a foul, in my opinion. You got to be heady enough to call a timeout.
All right, let's get to Bart. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Happy holidays to both of you.
Same to you.
Okay, so a couple questions. I want to use the word benchmark to compare the Sacramento Kings this year to last year. Can we agree that at this time last year, for this time as compared to last year, the Kings are playing better this year than they were last year?
No, not, they're one game ahead of last year's record right now.
Okay, so you don't think they're overall playing better than they were last year?
Well, I mean, what do you judge it on? Do you go by wins and losses? Because if you go by wins and losses, they're one win ahead of last year's pace currently.
And I'll say this to the caller's point and to Grant's point. I think they are better coached.
No doubt.
And right now, they are playing a better brand of basketball than they were at this same time last year. That's my opinion.
Okay. So I'm getting to this. The All-Star break is coming up. And what I'm trying to look at the Sacramento Kings as trying to obtain an eighth playoff spot this year. So if we get to the playoffs, to the All-Star break, and if the Kings are in the eighth playoff spot at the All-Star break, what do you give their chances to make it to the eighth playoff spot at the end of the season?
If they're healthy, I'd give them a very good chance.
Yeah, I would too. We talked about this at the very beginning of the show. I said kind of to your point, caller, I was with you. If they can get to the All-Star break and be at that eighth spot, maybe with a two-game lead or tied up, that means that more than half of the season is gone. They're going to go into the last quarter of the season. The games mean something. They have a good opportunity. In my opinion, why? Because you have one of the most dominant players on your team. He's playing well. He's playing unselfish, and guys are making shots.
I agree. Also, I'm going to give Vlade – I think Vlade knew what he was doing in hiring this coach. I think the true genius of this coach is going to come out in the second half of the season, right? The way he's going to be able to modify and adjust to make the push to get the Kings to the eighth playoff spot. And I'm going to go on record. They will make it to the playoffs in the eighth spot this year.
Oh, you're going on record, huh?
All right. Well, the one thing I do like, you know, and people always talk about the schedule now – I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. So if we get to the All-Star break, I don't know where the Kings are going to be. But I'll tell you this. They have a great closing schedule. They play at Minnesota. They play home against Dallas. They play at the Lakers, home against Houston, home against Phoenix. And then they end the season against the Clippers. And there's a good chance that will be a game in which Doc doesn't play anybody. So, you know, it's there have been some brutal schedules down the stretch for Sacramento in the month of April. This isn't one of them.
Yes. Also, it is 4:24, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor marble clearance, jacuzziofsacramento.com.
All right, when we come back, Levi Damian, he is the editor-in-chief for the Silver and Black Pride. Boy, I don't know what the Raiders do in terms of, you know, overcoming this, but we'll talk with him when we come back here on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, back with you at Golden One Center, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Levi Damian, he's the editor-in-chief for Silver and Black Pride, and thanks very much for coming on. We just saw the worst-case scenario with the Raiders. I know that the Raider Nation right now is doom and gloom for obvious reasons. Give me your thoughts on this whole scenario with Derek Carr.
Well, I think worst case scenario is just it. I mean, when you think about players that this team can afford to lose, he's, of course, obviously the one player that you would think they can afford to lose. He's made the comeback wins all season. They have 12 wins because of him. I would say they've had 7 comeback wins from down to touchdown, and he's had a big part in that. So his loss is significant, obviously.
Levi, how much confidence do the players, I guess the coaching staff and the players are two separate different things, so you could speak to both of them. How much do they have in Matt McGloin?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, they're going to say, of course, that they have confidence in him because they have no choice at this point. So that's kind of the situation they're in. They have to put their eggs in that basket. I will say that they know that McGloin has the utmost confidence in his own abilities.
Okay.
Whether or not that, you look at one of the things they like about Derek Carr is his confidence, the way that he's kind of fearless, and Matt McGloin fits in that same mold. So
okay.
He fits pretty well there.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It would go a long way of helping the confidence in the locker room if he goes out and plays well in Denver before the playoffs. I mean, God, if he goes out and stinks it up in Denver, I would say there'd be no confidence in him. So would you agree that, you know, even though it's a game, and let's face it, it's an important game for the Raiders because they would dearly love to get the number 2 seed and get a bye, it could go a long way in determining the confidence. Don't you think this is he's got to play well to earn the respect? I don't want to say respect, but confidence from his teammates?
Absolutely, especially when you consider, you know, you're going to Denver and you're facing a team that's been knocked out of the playoffs and has looked truly bad, like truly terrible. They've lost 3 games in a row, maybe 5 out of the last 6 or something. And if you can't go out and beat, even in Denver, if you can't go out and take care of a team like the Broncos, then it'd be hard pressed to expect them to do a whole lot in the playoffs. Again, you know, against obviously playoff teams. Even if they, you know, they'd be heading, most likely if they were to lose to Broncos, they'd be heading to Houston to face the Texans. So in that situation, you have a quarterback who's facing his old ball coach from Penn State. So you have that kind of that familiarity, which is always a dangerous thing. And then you have the situation where the Texans have an extremely talented secondary, and they can force him out of any comfort zone he may have when they go there. and make it very difficult on him.
Tell me what throws McGloin is going to have the most problem with. Is it going to be the deep ball? Is it going to be the short dick and dunks? Because you know that teams are going to probably make him prove that he can throw the football.
Well, yeah, it's going to be the longer throws. He doesn't have near the arm talent that Derek Carr has. The thing about Matt McGloin is he's got it from a mental side. He's got from a heart perspective. He's got good instincts. He's a gritty, hard-nosed type of player. I compare him a lot to Ryan Fitzpatrick, whether that's good or bad, because sometimes you get a really good game out of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then you get these games where he throws a lot of interceptions. He's just that type of player, that gunslinger mentality, a guy who maximizes his abilities. He's great at the short throws, and he can fit it in some pretty tight windows from time to time. If you look at what he did last week when he came in, that throw that he made that Amari Cooper went up and got, that's his kind of thing. He's like, he doesn't have to throw it very far, but he can put it where he needs it to be in a short distance.
So, Eli, when you say arm talent compared to Derek Carr, obviously, do you mean the fact that how far he's throwing it or how accurate he's throwing it?
I mean mostly how far, the arm strength, mostly. I mean, and what comes with that, obviously, is Derek Carr throws a very pretty ball. Because he has such arm talent, such arm strength, he can get away with not completely setting his feet sometimes and stepping into his throws. He can flick a lot of balls that will go a good distance and be accurate and be good throws. Matt McGloin
has to
make those throws planting his feet and whatnot.
Levi Damian joining us here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. What was the situation with Crabtree, and are there any other injuries right now that the nation should be concerned with?
Not that I would say that there's any other ones. I think Crabtree is the only one who's been nursing this finger injury that he got in the Panthers game.
Right.
It's a similar injury to what Carr had, a dislocation, and it's just been kind of giving him problems. You'll notice in every game, and I think just about every game, he'll drop that first pass, and it's always like, how do you drop that? It's just too easy.
Sure.
He'll miss those easy catches, and he'll make the tough ones.
Well, thanks very much for the update, Levi. We really appreciate it. The Raiders getting ready to go to Denver, and again, we do appreciate you taking the time to call the show.
Absolutely. No problem, guys.
You know, and Doug, you know, you talk about Matt McGloin. I mean, they didn't work out any quarterbacks today, so they're going to go with Connor Cook as his backup.
Okay.
So you got a couple of other issues here, all right? You've got a situation where you have to win a game on Sunday.
Right.
And if you have any chance at all, Matt McGloin has to be your quarterback when the playoffs begin. And then you have a guy that's never, you have Connor Cook. I mean, so you got a lot of things at play here. You can't go easy on Sunday because you need to win to lock down the 2 seed, which is important. Obviously, you get a bye. If you don't win, there's a good chance Kansas City is going to beat San Diego. So then you would go all the way to a 5 seed. Which makes your path that much more there's a lot going on this Sunday in Denver.
Yeah, from the coaching side of it, we didn't get to ask Levi, defensively, are they feeling a little bit more confident? Does this put a little, fire under them to try to, help on that side of the football? But when I think about McGloin, do the coaches try to let him throw some quick passes? Because the one thing I will say, he's been there all year, so he's going to know the entire playbook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he knows the system. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that, I would say, probably bodes a little bit for him, meaning that – but he hasn't had any – I mean, when I look here, Grant, 3 attempts, -3 yards.
That's why this game on Sunday is absolutely huge for him for a variety of reasons. He needs to get his feet wet. He needs to earn the confidence of his locker room, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the best way of earning confidence from your locker room is to go out and win a game in Denver.
Right.
If you're able to go do that, then you're going to gain the confidence. If he has a bad game, throws a couple of picks, and looks like it's an uh-oh, I could see the Raiders being one and done.
Now, you tell me about this, Grant. in football, okay, Derek Carr, when he goes into the huddle, he's the leader.
No question.
So now, is McGloin going to take that on and will people follow him, or do one of the veterans in there kind of help him out? How would that kind of make
I don't know who the veteran would be. I mean, he's the guy that is the quarterback, and he has to have the command of the huddle. And again, I go back to what I said. He can earn all of that with one good performance on Sunday.
Yeah, go out. And we've seen other – the reason I'm asking is because we've seen other quarterbacks step in, you know, maybe wink their eye, just kind of give the guys a calming effect that, hey, even though it's not the dude, don't worry, I'm here, we're going to make it happen. Can he be that guy? I agree. In Denver, on the road, must-win game, if he plays well – then he will have the locker room.
Yes, he will. He will have the locker room. If he goes and plays well in Denver, there's no question. And not only that, he's going against, say what you want about Denver, and they have nothing to play for. Their defense can put pressure on you. And let me tell you something. If you don't think Von Miller and company are coming after Matt McGloin on Sunday, you're wrong. All right, they are coming after him, and so he'll be able to earn his stripes within that locker room.
A division game, when you see the Broncos and you're a Raider, you got to know, I don't care if you meet up in the playground, wherever you're at, they are going to be coming at your head. It's 4:41, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance, jacuzziofsacramento.com.
All right, we'll be right back with more on Sports 1140. All right, we are back with you. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. It's the Kings and the Sixers, and it's coming your way tonight. 7:30 with the tip means 7 o'clock with the pregame. We're with you until 6, and then game night right after that. And this is it's a game you got to win. If you're thinking about, you know, the big picture, these are the games that you can't lose.
Yeah, you got to have these. There are a handful of them during the year, but it's really what separates the okay teams, the good teams, the great teams. It's to the level that you're able to win these games. And then can you steal one against those teams that are probably 8 through 4, right in there? That means those Houstons, those type of teams. You beat these teams you're supposed to, like tonight in a Philly, and then when you see a Houston, can you steal one from time to time? And that's what will put the Kings in that 41-41 area.
I'll tell you what's amazing to me. What's going on with Portland, who the Kings will see on Wednesday? They've lost 5 in a row, and all of a sudden, they are 13-19. All right? They're 13-19. They have lost 5 games in a row.
In my opinion, Grant, what happens is, okay, so you get LaMarcus Aldridge leaves, okay? So everyone last year thinks that they're going to fall in the tank. All of a sudden, you got a backcourt with them that just absolutely steps up and they start playing well.
They had 4 new starters last year to go with Damian Lillard.
To go with Damian Lillard, and you go through the league one time, and you can surprise people. And this is what I say. But when you really have arrived is when you can do it consistently. And I think that now they're starting to see, being Portland, that teams are waiting for them. They're looking for them. They know what's coming. And because we watched that game, Portland, you know, we've seen fast break points and a lot of different things, and you could see their style.
Yep.
But teams, they're going into those arenas, and they're not sneaking up on anybody.
And they're playing Toronto tonight, too, which is no picnic. All right, let's get to Lonnie. Hello, Lonnie. There goes Lonnie. So you got Toronto tonight or Portland. So, you know, again, they could be looking at 20 losses already, you know, if they lose tonight. And then you have Utah that's all of a sudden lost 3 in a row. They're at 18-13. You know, Denver has lost 2 in a row. They're 12-18. It's just amazing. You know, the teams right around Sacramento, Utah, not one of them. Utah is ahead of them. But, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Denver. I'm looking at Portland, you know, I'm looking at Sacramento. They've now won 3 in a row to get themselves, you know, to a 13-17 mark. And you're taking on a lot of teams beginning tonight that are really trying to find themselves. And if you're Sacramento, these are the games. You said this earlier. You got to pounce on this team tonight.
Yeah, you do. You got to come out. And the effort part, like, okay, let's say shooting percentage at 3-point. You want to win that. But let's put effort into that category as well. You got effort, you got rebounding, you got a lot of different. The effort one, you got to come out and you got to use this building, use the fans, come out and just absolutely jump on this team. There should be no question who's come to play harder, who's hitting first, and all that stuff. Now, we'll take everything else, Grant, and put it aside. But you come out immediately and jump on this team from the jump.
All right, let's get to Tom. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, gentlemen?
Good, Tom. What's happening?
Oh, I'm stoked about the Kings' winning streak and how things are going. Just a quick comment. When I see Temple and Tolliver, I think of TNT, dynamite.
I like that, man. Yes. I like that a lot.
Sounds like more Jerry, but anyways. I thought I'd share that thought.
Yes, it does.
Anyways, that's it. I hope it keeps going. It's a lot of fun watching when this is happening here.
Yeah, thank you. You know, a lot of people criticize Vlade Divac for his free agent signings, and they've been very quiet lately. You know, I think Garrett Temple, nobody's criticizing the signing of him. I don't think anybody's criticizing the signing of Ty Lawson when nobody else in the league wanted him. And I was a little critical of that myself, so
yes.
I'm going to, you know, I don't want to duck behind the clouds.
Well, you weren't. You were only critical from the standpoint that it was high risk, high reward.
Yes. Not
from his talent.
No.
If he was going to come and be this guy,
yeah.
We said – high reward.
Yes.
And
that's
he had
point.
A little blip, but other than that,
yeah.
I mean, right now, he is everything that you're getting a steal right now.
And I'll tell you, Anthony Tolliver's played very well lately. He really has. He seems to me that he's got the confidence now of the coach. The coach is finding a role for him, and I like the way he's playing. And you know what else? He's a really smart player.
Yes. It looked like, you know, okay, the 7 3-pointers in one game in the preseason, then all of a sudden he fell off. But I thought now as I look at it, a little bit of that it was the consistency of minutes. He wasn't getting it. He's finding his open spots on the floor. And now I think that's what you mean by a smart
yep.
player. Defensively, he understands when he's undersized. He puts himself in good position. But the ability to find openings lets me know that he's thinking out there on the floor, and then he's probably communicating somehow with DeMarcus because he's finding himself in beautiful positions, and he's knocking down shots.
And then, you know, the guy that I think is the most disappointing King this year has been Aaron Aflalo. And I think, you know, he got out of the doghouse. I think he was in the doghouse. And I think the last week he's now out of the doghouse. And I think he's playing much better coming off the bench. I think he's really, the last several games, he looks to me like, okay, you know what, I'm going to play, and whatever's going on with the coach, let's just go, let's do it. He's played pretty well the last couple games.
He has. His aggressiveness has been top-notch. I think defensively he's come out and played. The good thing, and I'll say this about every King that's gone through this year, is they've stayed ready.
Yep.
They've been professional. They've went through whatever they had to go through. And, you know, there's something to be said, Grant. We've said it many times. The bench can be a hell of a motivator. Come over here and sit by me.
Yep.
And that motivates guys. I don't think Coach necessarily was doing it for any reason like that. He's trying to find combinations, but for whatever reason, I agree. Aflalo has been playing great.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the other thing. I mean, and I don't have the exact figure, but, you know, Dave Yeager started Aaron Aflalo for 20 games. It's not
yes.
like he didn't give him a chance.
Oh, no, he did. And
right.
Aaron wasn't shooting the ball well.
No.
And sometimes we talked about it with Ben McLemore. Sometimes when you just give it to somebody,
yep.
there's a difference when they earn it. And right now, Aflalo's going out there and he's saying, like you said, you can see it. It's like, look, I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to play. I'm going to ball. And if the guys continue to do that, surround that around a dominant player in DeMarcus Cousins, you're going to get some good things happening.
All right, Doug and yours truly will be with you right up till 6. And then, of course, Kings basketball tomorrow. The Kings will practice, and then they will leave for Portland. They'll take on the Blazers on Wednesday, and then they're back here to wrap up 2016 on Saturday afternoon, a matinee affair at 2 o'clock against the Memphis Grizzlies. If you are out and about in the morning, I'll be in the jungle hosting the Jim Rome Show both tomorrow and Wednesday from Portland. Looking forward to that. And so we got a lot of things to talk about, including the NFL with Detroit playing Dallas tonight, and then Detroit and Green Bay coming up for you on Sunday. That's Sunday night football for the NFC North.
Get out of town. It's going to be awesome. You know, the one question I had was, Did you and Star make it down to the local jewelry store? You know the one.
The Diamond and Gold Vault?
Yeah, the Diamond and Gold
Vault.
We
always make it down to the Diamond and Gold Vault.
I was wondering because it was Christmas time.
Yeah. No, you know, not this year.
Nope. Star, what the heck is going
on?
Wabbit cookies?
No Diamond and Gold Vault
this
year.
No Diamond and Gold Vault.
Nope.
Get out of town.
Nope, not
I can't
this year.
Believe that.
It's not that we don't love the Diamond and Gold Vault, but no, it just wasn't, not this year.
Not this year.
No.
I'm going to have to have a conversation with her when I see
you
her.
Can, hey, listen, she's not going to complain if you talk to her right now. She's not complaining.
I didn't say she was complaining.
She actually told me not to get her anything for
nothing
Christmas.
Nothing sparkly?
No, nothing sparkly. She told me do not get her anything for Christmas at all.
And did you do that?
No, you know what? I did get her something, but I mean, I didn't get her. No, I wasn't like,
okay.
No, I listened to her.
You you are something.
I was like,
else.
Hey, my wife is trying to save me money. I'm like, I'll listen to her.
You're gonna make me choke here.
No, sure. My wife's the best in the. Listen. I know you. Your wife and I don't even.
She
have
didn't
to,
want anything this year either. Yeah. But she got a couple things.
But you know, you know how wives always say that, and then you don't get them anything, and they're like, they complain for you. My wife's not like that. No,
I'm
not.
Glad you didn't test it, though.
No, my wife's the best. Honestly, I don't know what the hell she's doing with me. I really don't. I really have no idea. All right, we'll have the third hour of the show coming up right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.